Black Roots, Bristol Rock. As we told you just before this track, we've got Mr. Tony Gosling in studio with us this morning. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Pat. Are
you well?
First on the One Love, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. See, everyone's breaking their duck. Zahir's first as well this morning. And hasn't he made sure that everyone knows who he is, if they didn't already? Tony, you've been over at the BBC. First of all, first question, why are the BBC on strike?
Well, it's not the entire BBC. It's all the news output. So, for example, the Today programme on Radio 4, big national news show, which starts at 6:30 up until 9:00. That's been totally off the air today.
Oh, my God.
And they've had a replacement programme by Edward Sturton about the Pope. But, I mean, so they have had current affairs output, but no actual news programmes. Five Live is all sorts of rather unfamiliar voices on Five Live, some of them sounding a little bit unconfident, and
right,
like they're not quite sure what they're up to.
So not like this show, of
course.
Some
actually quite amusing interviews I've been listening to, where people are...
So why have you been listening to Five Live,
Well, just to see what's on.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Also to see, you know, what's going on with this strike. I mean, the nuts and bolts of it really is that when this coalition government came in 2 years ago, Jeremy Hunt, who was at that point the culture secretary, froze the license fee. Now, a lot of people have said that that was due to pressure from Rupert Murdoch,
right,
and Sky, you know, basically doing a deal before the election, saying, well, look, if you support us during the election, will you freeze the BBC license fee? Because, of course, Murdoch and Sky think that the BBC is unfair competition in the global market, and
right,
so they're trying to put pressure downwards on the BBC. Now, a result of this is that the BBC management are having to make cuts in their workforce, at least that's what they say, they have to make cuts, and that's why they're on a strike today. It's all over compulsory redundancies, because they're basically saying to certain people right across the BBC, particularly on Five Live and on the Asian Network, several other places around the country, they're just saying, targeting people and saying, you've got to go.
Okay. So obviously many of the well-known presenters in they're standing side by side with some of the people that have got to go and say, look,
exactly,
let's all walk out.
The interesting thing is, and the thing I actually rather love about the NUJ, National Union of Journalists, is that there's nobody actually specifically threatened in Bristol. People in Bristol are out on strike just this one day in solidarity with people right across the country, because they know that others stand to lose their livelihoods. And they're not doing this for no reason at all either, because the reason that this kind of thing is happening is, as I've explained, is the cuts, but the union has worked out, actually done its homework and worked out, they don't actually need to sack anybody. If they just leave people to sort of leave the BBC by natural wastage, they don't actually need to sack anybody. And so why
can
the question arises, yeah, of course you can.
Well,
that's what you're here for, isn't it?
So the union are bound to say that, aren't they? They've done their sums, but at the end of the day, the BBC need to run their own their own finances. And of course, if in a year's time then the BBC suddenly get in debt or are unable to deliver programming, and everyone says, why couldn't you deliver this programming? And they said, well, we did say a year ago we needed to cut some costs, but nobody would let us. So their argument will be, look, we've got more pressures on us, and we all know they're going to have to put money away for claims from Savile and all the other bits and pieces that's been going on.
Yes, well,
and somebody's going to have to pay for it, aren't they?
Well, that's right. But there's about between 5 and 10% turnover of staff. BBC is not the only broadcaster in the world.
Nope.
So people leave for foreign channels. There's actually increasing numbers of English language channels around the world. A lot of BBC people leave.
If Sky and other major broadcasters made any redundancies in a similar way, is it the sign of the times?
No. There is a sign of the times aspect to all of this, of course, but the main reason is because the BBC licence fee is frozen and yet inflation is going up, you know, so they have to save money. I mean, I would suggest actually some of the mid-tier management who are paid much more than the journalists and researchers and producers, maybe they should go rather than the actual journalists. You know, so we're talking about researchers, producers, journalists, reporters, correspondents, all those from the union anyway are on strike. And of course they do have a democratic ballot right across the union to make sure that this is fair, and that's because the journalists actually do want to do this. There are other unions, Equity and Bechtu at the BBC, that aren't out on strike today. But the main point really being that they have done their figures, the union has done its figures, and there's no reason to sack people. Now, because people will be going through natural wastage.
Right.
What happens is, in these sorts of situations, is people actually get targeted for redundancy because of their politics. This is the problem. and this happens in other broadcasts in other parts of the world, if the management don't like your politics, you might be the one that's fingered for compulsory redundancy. And that's why it's so important.
Have you got evidence of that, though?
Well, you want evidence? I can tell you, I know. But if you go back to the 1980s, book Blacklist, the BBC actually had this thing called the Christmas Tree Files, which was in the personnel department of the BBC, where people that they didn't like for their politics had their personnel file stamped with a green Christmas tree, and that was code for we're going to try and get rid of this person.
So that was in the 80s?
That was in the 80s, yeah.
Okay, but we're talking about now, so obviously as...
Well, there's blacklists around, as we've heard. There's a massive scandal at the moment over the blacklisting of building workers. Blacklists do exist, and people feel...
No, but we're talking specifically about the BBC now. So what we're saying, in the 80s, I mean, I couldn't argue yes or no, you know, whether that was proven fact or fiction. Let's assume that's correct, that list was there in the 80s. So now, as a BBC reporter, you need to be impartial. So if you have got particular political views that you let slant on your reporting, I guess that wouldn't be a good thing.
Is there such a thing as real impartiality? This is the trouble.
Probably not.
Everybody has got their
probably
own views,
not.
I think.
Yes, you're right.
And, you know, I would say, for example, over the years, the BBC's political coverage has slid away from being really impartial, and now it tends to be more pro-establishment than it used to be in the past. I mean, look at Chris Patton, who's now the chairman of the BBC, mm-hmm. a former Conservative Party cabinet minister who was an MP in Bath, and then the people of Bath decided they didn't really want him anymore, so even though he was in the cabinet, he ended up in the early 90s finding himself without a seat at a general election.
He was governor of Hong Kong, wasn't he?
Yes. Removed by the people and then put in charge of the BBC.
Mm, okay. So any thoughts on this one? Quickly?
I mean, with politics, I just stay shut. I shut up.
So for me, I mean, obviously, from you know, from our perspective as broadcasters as well, you know, it's a bit be as volunteers. You know, everyone's going to have sympathy for anybody losing their job or potentially having to lose their job. I think that's you know, that's a given, I think.
The success or otherwise of this will be proven in a couple of weeks, because the National Union of Journalists is balloting all its BBC members again in March. And this may actually, you know, if the BBC don't agree to just simply allow that natural wastage and still go for this idea of targeting specific individuals to sack them, then, you know, it may the dispute may widen. It may go on. We may see more days where we don't get any news on the BBC.
And I'm sure as well on Friday's Drive Time, the politics show with you and your team between 5 and 7 o'clock on BCFM, I'm sure we'll hear more of this.
You certainly will. And we've got an exclusive interview with someone they call the father of the chapel.
Okay.
Did you know they still have chapels in the BBC?
No.
Oh. Do you know what a chapel is?
No.
Well, it's a way that the National Union of Journalists organises within the BBC. It's called a chapel. And the person who's the representative, like you would call a shop steward in the union, is the father of the chapel.
That's
or the mother of
old
the, the mother of the chapel, yeah. It comes from the old sort of Methodists and Baptists.
They love a bit of tradition, don't they?
Non-conformism, you know, from the church. They don't like the Church of England in the old days. The chapel was the opposite of the church.
We've run out of time. But Tony, thanks ever so much for coming straight to us from the BBC. And we wanted to talk about these billboards.